Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Late Night.
This is Late Night.
On Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Tonight, it's Mr. Overnight, Big Ben Maller.
Let's get it going with Ben Maller.
Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Fanning the flames. We'll get to that, but I got to start with this Zion Williamson. I was watching the Duke-North Carolina game. Hi, by the way, I'm Ben. So I was watching the Duke-North Carolina game, and a much hyped game, people fired up. You got to watch this game. Oh, my God. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to fall. I'm a sucker. I'm going to fall for this. I'm going to check this game. Now, they're at halftime right now in North Carolina, and the Tar Heels are leading the game on the road, 42-32. But no one's going to be talking about what happens in the game. People paid thousands of dollars. They were getting thousands of dollars, as much as $3,000 or $4,000 for courtside seats for this game in Durham, North Carolina. But Zion Williamson, who I have been hearing about and you have been hearing about for months here, the number one player in college basketball, this is his biggest primetime stage, and he ends up getting upstaged by a shoe. Right? Just a shoe. The biggest moment in the regular season of a very brief college basketball career. And it was, I had it at 36 seconds. Other people said 33. I guess it's up for interpretation. But he went, Zion Williamson, in the first minute of the game, he goes to cut back at the top of the key with the ball, and like a trap door opened up and some kind of piranha came out and ate his shoe. The shoe literally exploded. And it reminded me, I've not seen, at least I don't recall, maybe I have, but I don't recall a shoe exploding like this. We have seen other uniform equipment, wardrobe malfunctions and stuff like that, but the one that popped in my head right away was Pablo Sandoval a couple years ago when he had one too many cheeseburgers and the belt exploded. It was a tragic situation for the belt, but you could explain it by saying, hey, Pablo, he was a big fat pig and he ate a lot, and that's what happens. He just ate too much and the uniform exploded. But this, yikes. Now, I don't know how bad it is, and I guess we'll find out as the night goes on, and there's a lot of angst, I would think, in New York, Chicago, and Phoenix, the three NBA franchises that have gone out of their way to tank, and Cleveland also. Let's not forget Cleveland. You got multiple teams who are in the suck for Zion race, and it's possible this is just a minor bump and nothing. But based on circumstantial evidence and anecdotal evidence here, Williamson's leg buckled. And I know from practicing medicine, over the years on sports radio that when your knee buckles, that's not a good thing. That's not, like, I've had, in my own experience, not a professional athlete, a professional gas bag, I've had my knee buckle a few times, and it is nasty. It is a nasty situation. We'll see. I mean, he's not coming back in the game. The shoe got destroyed. It was a Nike shoe, by the way. And I just a couple of brief thoughts on this because I want to get to fanning the flames, which is not this. This is not fanning the flames, but this is the big story of the night, that the knee injury to Zion Williamson is going to open the floodgates on he should not play. None of these guys who are presumptive top three picks in the draft should play college basketball. They should just sit out. You're not getting paid. Now, I don't know. Zion Williamson could be getting paid by Duke. We saw the Adidas scandal a couple years ago, which is still going on. I think it was the Adidas scandal, right? Their pay-for-play situation and all that with recruits. So I don't think it's outrageous to think there might be some money under the table and all that. But unfortunately, this is the way the system is set up. And I don't like the mindset. I understand financially, you said, well, if you were advising Zion Williamson, if you're worth a first pick in the draft and you're worth millions and millions of dollars, well, why even think about it, right? You're empowered because you have that status. You don't have to play. But I would look down on players. I do look down on these guys. We see it all the time. College football players now who don't want to play in bowl games, they sit out bowl games. We're seeing it next week. The Patriots, all these other NFL teams are going to get together in Indianapolis. And they are going, it's a meat market, it's a cattle call in Indianapolis. They're going to work out all these guys and figure out who the next great stars in the NFL are. And through that, some players now are saying, well, maybe we shouldn't work out at the combine because of the risk of injury. And I have to put a mark next to these guys because not that you have to live, eat, breathe, and sleep football, right? Remember that old line? It was a Parcells line. He had a lot of those ridiculous quotes, but he said, I want beavers, he said. Why does he want beavers? He says, because what do beavers do other than chop down trees? Nothing. They chop trees down. And that's how he wanted his football players back in the day with the Patriots and the Giants and the Jets and all the teams that Parcells worked for. And not that I'm that extreme, but if your mindset is, hey, I don't want to do anything. I want to be the boy in the bubble, and I want to have a code around me protecting me, a cone rather around me protecting me. You don't want that either. So we'll see what happens with Zion Williamson, but his knee did buckle tonight for Duke, and he limped away, withering. I like the word withering. Is that a good word, withering? It's an underrated word. There's not a lot of ways you can say withering other than withering in pain. Is there any other, what other stance can you, what other mindset can you use withering? I'm trying to think here, like withering with excitement? Would that work? But how is your withering in pain? So that's the Zion Williamson story. Now, meanwhile, let's get to the main event. What is the main event? Well, I hear the NBA is going to be liberated, and they're actually going to play basketball again. That's amazing. The extended week off because LeBron James complained a couple years ago, and so Adam Silver said whatever LeBron wants, he gets. So now all the NBA players get a full week off. Of course, God forbid they stagger that. They got to, no. Anyway, so the Celtics will be back on the court on Thursday in Milwaukee. And Kyrie Irving, he is fanning the flames. He is feeding the NBA content factory a couple of times. Now, if you've not been following because you have a life or you just didn't pay attention, maybe you missed it, Kyrie had a meet and greet with Rachel Nichols, who's one of the great rah-rah cheerleaders in the media for the NBA. And they discussed the infamous phone call that Kyrie made to LeBron James. That's right. That story is back. That is right. And now Irving's been asked about this before. And if you followed along, you know that most of the time when asked about the phone call with LeBron James, since it first became public knowledge back in January, he has been reluctant to speak. He's been cautious, hasn't said a lot. Still surly, but when he was asked about it after the All-Star game in Charlotte, for example, he said, that's none of your business. You know whose business it is? Rachel Nichols. It's her business. And Kyrie was ready to spill his guts, right? He wanted to spill his guts. He had to wait for the proper television cameras. So Kyrie Irving now says that phone call with LeBron was necessary. Now, why was it necessary? Because he did not address the situation between those two knuckleheads when they were teammates in Cleveland. Kyrie insisting that he needed to apologize. This was very important in his life, to apologize for how he acted with the Cavaliers there at the end and forcing his way out. And he had to do this so he could cleanse his soul to move forward, blah, 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 blah. Now, that turned out to be just the tip of the spear. That was the appetizer. That, think of that as the chicken finger before the main event. Right? The egg roll before the main meal. And so, Irving, what did he do next? At Celtics practice, Kyrie was asked about the video that has gone viral since the All-Star game. You've seen it if you care about this kind of stuff. And it was him and Kevin Durant, right? And they were having a very passionate, deep conversation, it would appear. There was some joking going on, but they were having a good time in the All-Star game, pregame lead up to the game, right? And Irving, when asked what was going on in that conversation, the clip has gone viral, as I said. How do you think Kyrie Irving handled it? Do you think he said, hey, it's none of your business, like he did originally about LeBron James? Do you think he said that? Do you think Kyrie said, it's just a couple of friends catching up? Or do you think Kyrie went volcano mode, right? Mount St. Helens and erupted? The answer would be door number three. Now, I actually found the audio. We can't play it because Kyrie cursed multiple times. And unless my friend Bridget can clean up the potty words we're not supposed to say on the radio, which I have no problem saying, because it was really the S word. It was a couple versions of the S word. All right. Bridget, she's efforting that right now, so as you heard. So she will get to the bottom of it. But Kyrie, he said the BS and then just the S words. He cursed several times. So once we get it cleaned up, we'll play it. But I'll just imagine, because radio is supposed to be theater of the mind, just imagine that I am Kyrie Irving. I'm a well-paid NBA player, and I am upset because of a video of Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and so I am now going to unload, is what I am going to do, okay? I'm going to unload. Quote, if this was the real world, would it be anybody else's business? It's a video, Kyrie says, of somebody assuming that what we're talking about, making an opinion about it, right? Kyrie continued. So why would I care about it? All right. So he's taking aim at the coverage of it. Then, now Kyrie had more to say, but I want to give you the highlights here. Kyrie also, quote, continued. He's addressing the media. He says, you do it for the likes and clicks. Everybody does. Everybody wants to hear athletes talk about BS. No, he didn't say BS. He said bull, you know what else. That's right. It's like a ship in the night. It makes no sense. It's not real life. Close quote from Kyrie Irving. All right, so let's discuss. The question, do you have any empathy for Kyrie Irving? Do you have any empathy for Kyrie? Because he's, yeah, listen, it's not, he's essentially playing, it's not fair. You just want to get attention, you and the media. You're making assumptions. It's nobody's business. He's giving a lecture. Kyrie giving a lecture. So do you have empathy? I'm going to go first here because you're not on hold, so I get to go first. The answer is no. I'm going to push back on this. Now, my thoughts on this, you've got a lot of parts to this, a lot of moving parts to this. You've got the microscope. You also have aggressive and the crapshoot. And we will mix all of this together into a nice, delicious casserole, I think. I don't know. Anyway, now, A, it appears based on this reaction by Kyrie Irving, and just watching the video, that chat with Kevin Durant was not about just kind of hanging out and where are you going to go over the All-Star break? You're going to go to Miami or L.A. or Bahamas? Where are you going? Could it have been that they were chit-chatting about the Knicks or the Clippers, or maybe Kyrie was trying to recruit Kevin Durant to come play in Boston? But here's the thing. Whatever they were talking about, Kyrie was clearly, I believe, getting some media relations advice from the Slim Reaper, part of that conversation. Because this mini meltdown by Irving is right out of Kevin Durant's playbook, is it not? Now, I admit that I spend way too much time paying attention to this stuff because it kind of goes with the territory, the over-the-top, dramatic obsession of NBA coverage. And there's a tremendous amount of passion for those that cover the NBA about these kind of stories. And so I get sucked into the rabbit hole, and there you go. It's kind of like when you start watching videos on YouTube. And every once in a while, like, I'll reminisce because apparently I've become an old fart. I used to watch this show called This Week in Baseball. And I loved the show This Week in Baseball with the late, great Mel Allen. And I would watch this show when I was a kid. And so, you know, they're on YouTube. So I'll start watching one episode of This Week in Baseball. And then, like, 3 hours later, I'll still be watching episodes of This Week in Baseball. It's like one after another. It's a never-ending thing. You get overwhelmed with that. But as far as this Durant-Irving angle here, a couple of weeks ago, Kevin Durant took aim at the media. He had a tirade for the ages. And he was all surly because somebody reported that Durant was going to go play for the Knicks, remember? And he was begging the reporters. He just wanted to play basketball. Let us play basketball. Then he told the media to grow up. An adult that makes his living playing professional basketball was telling the media to grow up. Now, this comes with the territory. Kyrie is making $20 million. So he's not in the poorhouse. And how do you get $20 million? Well, he's good at basketball, but there's a lot of guys that are good at basketball. A lot of people that play basketball all the time. They're weekend warriors. They're good at basketball. They're not playing in the NBA. And they're not getting paid. Right? The reason the NBA is able to pay out $20 million and $30 and $40 million salaries is because there is an appetite. Now, maybe you don't have an appetite for it, but there is a large appetite in the public for this kind of stuff. And the job of Kyrie Irving essentially exists because of those people. Again, maybe not you, but there are enough people out there that consume this stuff that put everything under a microscope. You know, it's putting it in a petri dish and examining everything that's in there. Now, Irving, to me, comes across as someone who is frustrated. He is not a dope. He seems to be the person that wants to have his cake and eat it too, right? I mean, if Kyrie was so worried about people talking about his relationships, whether it's Kevin Durant or anybody else, right? This is a very easy fix. Kyrie's been in the NBA a number of years. He's been in the NBA Finals. He's played with LeBron James. He's been around the block. If you don't want or are upset with this kind of stuff, then why are you going on ESPN to talk about a private conversation with LeBron James? You know how most people handle private conversations? Privately. You don't advertise a personal phone call, and yet Kyrie Irving wanted the world to know, after not answering questions about it, that he had patched things up with LeBron James. It's silliness. If you want to experience not having scrutiny, not having people get in your business, there are plenty of real-world jobs that one can get. They just, you know, listen, they don't pay that much. They don't, and they're not as much fun. And that's the way that it goes. And the only people, like, if you become a plumber and you work for a big company or you're a construction worker, you're going to have someone breathing down your neck. It'll just be your boss. It's not going to be the mass media and all that. Now, part B of this, as we chat here on Sports Radio WEI, did Kyrie Irving expect privacy as far as that conversation with himself and Durant. Here's another dunce cap situation. Because if you've seen the video, you know it wasn't at the team hotel. It wasn't in some private residence somewhere in Charlotte. These two Mensas were in their uniforms, in their warm-up uniforms, before the bloody All-Star game. They were in a tunnel that the media had access to. What do you think is going to happen? You think that the media people there are just going to sit back and say, ah, la, 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 not pay any attention? What are you, stupid? Come on now. Yeah. Right, we have, you know what? Bridget, she has magical power. She said abracadabra, hocus pocus, and she used the magical digital editing machine. We now have the audio. Let's go to the audio tape. Here is Kyrie, the rant that we are breaking down right now. Just to prove I didn't make it up, here's Kyrie in his own words.
So I don't have a private life when I'm out there in the NBA. Somebody wants to take a video, man. It is. Pour water on it?
No,
I'm a human being talking to another best friend of mine. Like,
no, I'm saying.
It's just crazy. You know, this is the stuff that just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league anymore by doing bull like that. Of just fictitious putting things on, like, what we're talking about. Like, it's crazy. I guess that's what you want.
No. What I'm saying is that it's out there. Do you want to cool it off or whatever, by you know, people are running with it saying, you know,
yeah,
look, we haven't written about it. We're like, that's, we're coming to you to ask you about it, okay?
And people like who then?
Well, it's all over the internet. I mean, it's just, you know.
Do you look at this, the internet real for you in your life? It's my life, right? It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you, but
making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it?
Well,
why does that have an impact on my life? Why are you asking me those type of questions? About cooling it off? Or what?
The reason we're
not get it.
The reason we're asking about it is because the people, the fans are interested in it. That's all.
Oh, the fans?
Yes.
It's about the fans.
Well, that's...
for the fans.
What you do with your life, so, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's where we started the conversation. What I do with my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's. It's not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asking questions about it. Like, that's what disconnects me from all that. Like, because I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans. You brought up the fans. Come on, man. You do it for the likes and clicks. Everybody does. Everybody wants to hear me talk like this. Like, everybody wants to hear every athlete talk about bull like this. A video, though, to pull water on it?
No, what I'm saying, it
makes no sense. This makes no sense.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, I enjoyed it, Kyrie. I liked that you had a meltdown there. It's a very deep question. Is the internet real life? Is the internet real life? He asked that in the middle. And I love when guys in the athlete kingdom of athletes or whatever, when they get upset with the line of questioning. I always like that. Because anyone who's ever taken a class on how to deal with the media, like if you have any kind of savviness to yourself, you can be in complete control, because it doesn't matter what some idiot like myself asks. If I can ask you the most offensive question in the world, you don't have to answer it. Like, how many times have we heard, like, Tom Brady? Tom Brady goes on EEI during the football season every week with Mutt and Callahan Now in the Morning, and the other, you know, previous editions of, you know, Callahan and whoever in the morning over the years. And Tom Brady does 10, 15, 20, sometimes even longer minutes on the radio. And it doesn't really matter what you ask him. He's not going to answer. Like, you are in complete control. Now, even when you ask a loaded question, everyone knows the loaded question, which is, they're famous. The questions, the traditional example is, have you stopped beating your wife? Like, that's a loaded question. There's no good way to answer that. If you say yes or no, you will admit to having committed a heinous act, right? Loaded question. There's double-barreled questions, which get asked all the time, right? It's a question designed to mislead by unfairly connecting multiple things and requesting a single answer. You're stacking things on top of each other. But if you're in control, you just don't have to answer. Kyrie happened to snap, which is good. And he said, you know, my business. I pointed out, these guys were in uniform at an NBA arena where the media was asked to cover this event. So what do you think is going to happen? You know, privacy is limited. And just like when you say the earth could be flat, people react to that. You know, you got to know a little bit better. Now, meanwhile, Kyrie Irving is also showing, as you heard there, with that rhythmic dribbling of the basketballs behind Kyrie Irving, which just is great. What is the greatest ambient sound in audio that we play on the radio? Is it A, basketballs dribbling, B, interviews during batting practice when you can hear the crack of the bat in the background? Every like 20 seconds there's a crack of the bat. Or hockey, where you can hear the guys skating in the background at like the morning skate and the puck bouncing off the glass and players running into each other. I have the basketball, the rhythmic basketball dribbling number one on that list. But anyway, just to continue on here with the narrative of Kyrie, and he's become very aggressive here. More aggressive, it seems, off the court than on the court. And maybe it's just me, but does he need a wellness check or something? I don't know. Now, my theory is that Kyrie is upset. I think it's obvious he's upset. But why is he upset? He's pissed off that he is being called out by some who cover the Celtics. And many people here, we've taken phone calls the last couple of weeks about this. The Celtics, they're good, but not as good as they were supposed to be. And many are pointing the finger at Kyrie Irving. And yeah, they have an almost 600 winning percentage with Kyrie Irving in the lineup. He's got 14 double-doubles. He's played in 47 games, 28-19. That's a 596 winning percentage. When Kyrie hasn't been on the court, the Celtics have an 818 winning percentage. They're playing 800 basketball. Now, they've only played 11 games without Kyrie that he's missed with injury and all that. But as the old saying goes, perception is reality. And the perception is that the C's play much better and more aesthetically pleasing when Kyrie is not on the court. And I don't know how you argue that. Like, they move the ball around. They have a different tempo. There's a pep in their step there when Kyrie is not on the court. Now, is that a figment of our imagination, or is that actually reality? That's what I've seen. When I watched the Celtics this year, and when Kyrie's out there, they can win, and they've won a bunch. They've won almost 60% of their games, but it's a different style. They're slow moving. It's more of a plodding style of basketball, and it's just a lot more enjoyable to watch when they're moving the ball around. There's a rhythm, there's a teamwork that's involved when Kyrie's not out there. It's the old catch-22, right? Coaches always preach, individuals win games, but teams win titles, blah, 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 blah. Of course, in the NBA, it's usually individuals that win titles, and they have to be part of a team, but it's the individuals that win the title. All right, last thing on this, because I know I'm a little late. So what does the future hold? We're going to take some calls on this. I want to get your thoughts. But what does the future hold? Now, playing the speculation game. Now, we know all of this is a crapshoot, but the smart money says that Kyrie Irving is going to stick around. If I'm setting the odds, and you know when I come in here a couple nights a week and do my thing here, usually in when Gilroy's away or whatever, I like to make odds. I'm an amateur bookmaker. I got the odds on this at 60-40 that Kyrie stays right where he is in Boston. Now, 60-40 isn't great. 60-40 leaves a 40% chance that Kyrie is gonzo, that he is packing up the Mayflower moving van and saying goodbye, arrivederci, I'm out of here, sayonara. Because if you had a 400 hitter up in the World Series, you'd feel pretty good about your chances of getting a hit. Now, if you had a 600 hitter up, you'd feel even better. And we know Danny Ainge is trying to butter the biscuits of Kyrie. Just using the kid glove treatment here publicly. It is a work in progress. And Kyrie is, he's like a yo-yo. He's up and down. On one hand, he stands in front of Celtic fans and proclaims that he's going to stay in Boston. He's going to re-sign. And then a couple months later, he evolves and snaps and curses and says, we'll see. It's a highly combustible situation. So Kyrie has these unpredictable and very bizarre mood changes with the media. But that is right out of Kevin Durant's guidebook, it would appear. All right, so what do you think about this? If you would like to be part of the big Bafo Sacco radio program, you can do it. We're here for a while. We've got a lot of time. Bridget is producing. She's hanging out. And you can say hello to her. The number 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. And since Zion Williamson is out for Duke, I have turned off the Duke game. And in the studio here, I have the Bruins and the Golden Knights game on. Yeah, that's how I roll. That's how I do it. Yeah. Yeah, not scoreless right now. It's about 9 minutes to go in the first period. I know you're very concerned about that, unless you're not. But you can pretend. 617-779-7937. And also, if you're on Twitter and you want to send me a message, I read a lot of these dopey messages on the air, and I might even read yours. It's at Ben Maller, M-A-L-L-E-R, the last name. And you can be part of the show that way. Some presidential encouragement. Some presidential encouragement. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're locked into Late Night with Ben Maller on Sports Radio WEEI.
A lot of guys would not have made that phone call. Why did you make the phone call?
Well, I think that, you know, it takes a very, very strong individual to, you know, replay a lot of the experiences that you've had. You know, a lot of anger that you had built up, you know, that where you didn't address the situation and you allowed it to fester, and then it was just combustion. Like, it was just, it came out, and it just, you know, and then you realize, like, hey, man, I didn't have to deal with that the same way I dealt with that. You know, I didn't have to go about it that same way. Now, mind you, I have no regrets in terms of any decision that I made, you know, going about my individual journey and what I want and foresee for my career. And yeah, apologizing, that was a step for me just to move forward in my life.
That was Kyrie earlier on ESPN with Rachel Nichols. Well, she asked that question in the most endearing way imaginable. Well, a lot of people wouldn't do this, Kyrie, but you did. Yeah. All right. Listen, I have mixed feelings on this. I have mixed feelings on this because we just did a whole Mallard monologue on it. But Kyrie goes on and on about how, I don't, you know, it's my private life. And then when Rachel Nichols asks him a question, he goes into it. A lot of people call and apologize and they make mistakes. And even I, who never apologized for anything, have done it. And Kyrie is like, you don't need to take a victory lap because you've apologized. Yikes. All right, let's see here. Listener writes and says, stop blaming Kyrie. How about you talk about the most overrated coach in sports history? She says, all right. Is it Truck? I think that's your name. Brad Stevens, the most overrated coach in sports history. I'm going to go no on that. He does get a lot of love, Brad Stevens. But the Celtics were in the Eastern Conference Finals without their supposed two top players last year. But continue to, I like the haterade though. It's good. Good haterade for sure. All right, we are on Twitter at Ben Maller if you'd like to be part. We will get to the presidential encouragement in a moment. And we'll get to that. Guy asked, will Zion Williamson play another game? Kevin asked, will Zion Williamson play another game for Duke? All right, so here's how I'm going to answer that. All right, first of all, we don't know yet how terrible the knee injury is that Zion Williamson experienced tonight. If it is a mild knee injury, it was more like he was shaken up because his shoe exploded, his nice Nike shoe exploded. It was more of a shock thing than anything, then he'll come back and play. But what are the odds? I mean, if you're asking me, Kevin, what the odds are, I would say the odds are actually he does not play. Like I would think, you know, it's possible, you know, depending on how this all goes down, and you know, Zion through surrogates and people around him could have already lined up some kind of agreement to wear, you know, certain athletic shoes. He's wearing Nikes now because Duke's a Nike school, and that Nike shoe blew up. To me, the most compelling thing, once you get past Zion Williamson and his injury, is he's looking at a nine-digit, when it's all done, basketball shoe contract. And this is a Nike product that just exploded in that Duke game. That is a mess. All right, let's go to the phones, and we'll start out with Blind Scott, who's hanging out on the north end. Hello, Blind Scott.
Oh, yeah, I had that happen to my Nikes. I had the Kevin Durant Nikes, and me and Kramer walking down Hanover Street in North End, and the whole thing just blew up. And then I took them back to the Nike store, and they gave me another pair. And then the thing happened again, and then I never buy those shoes ever again. Those are trash. So now I buy the Nike Commuters. But, you know, we got a Ryan Donato. We traded him to the Minnesota Wild for Charlie Coyle. You know, two Boston guys. Charlie Coyle's from Weymouth. Ryan Donato, he's some Harvard bum, some nepotism bum whose father coached at Harvard. But his father, I paid for him back in 1996 on the Cape. He paid me $40 for a round of golf, which wasn't bad back then. But those guys, they're wimps. They can't hit nobody, you know. They might as well be figure skaters, those Donato. So I'm glad to see Donato go. And we throw right in his face, his father's face at Harvard. So his father will have to go coach in Minnesota, whatever, you know. You know, we got this award show going on, and I got robots voting for your polls and stuff, and I'm just throwing it all off for you, you know. And, this is on a different show that you do, but, you know, I just...
Wait. Scott, are you employing Russian bots? Is that what you're saying, Blind Scott?
I was spamming your Twitter polls on... these social media boards where bots are on there, and they're driving the numbers up, and they're voting for the people that I'm saying, you know what I mean? And I'm just sick of this stuff, you know what I mean? I'm just sick.
You're a winner though, Blind Scott. You've won these awards on the other show. You have been royalty. You've won Caller of the Year on that show. You've been honored.
I'm all about WEI now, though. Forget that show. You know, this is a new show. They got a new format for Red Sox broadcasting. More of a talk format, more laid back, you know?
Yeah.
Serious. I think they might even take some calls from Blind Scott in between innings, you know, during the games now.
So you think, like, in the fourth inning, they'll open up the phone lines and they'll be like, let's go to Scott on the north end. Scott, what do you think of the David Price performance so far? Your thoughts?
And then I'll just start slamming. I'll say, he stinks. He's overpaid. He's a bum, you know? And then, you know, that'll be great. And, you know, if Wayne's listening now, I want to know why he goes to the gym so late at night. What's he doing for the rest of the day? What guy goes to the gym at 11 o'clock at night, you know? I never met a guy from Celtic that I liked before. I like the guys from Charlestown, you know? And then we all meet up and we fight the guys from Celtic, you know what I'm saying? But in that, whoever was just trashing Brad Stevens, they don't know anything about basketball. They just want to get their tweet read on the air. You know, it was no treat to hear that. We need to take more phone calls. You need those losers from New Hampshire calling up and doing their stupid raps again. I've been listening to the show lately. It's been amazing, you know. And we even need some Russian bots to call up. I'll have to deploy them on the show. But, hey, thanks for taking my phone call.
All right. Thank you. Oh, off the air. That's old school, Blind Scott. You're going old school 1980s sports radio. First time caller, long time listener. I'll take your comments off the air. You want me to like pull out like the Mike Francesa handbook of radio and all? All right, let's do a list. And I'll read the starting lineup for the Red Sox. Here's who's going to play in the game on Friday, and just go down the list. No? All right, 617-779-7937. Now, I do not have any bot followers. Some of the people on social media pay for their followers, right? It's an open thing. I will not do it, mainly because I'm cheap. So I'm not going to pay for followers on Twitter. I have earned all of the followers I've gotten, which aren't very many. But that's it. I don't pay for them. Now, I am not against someone else going out there and paying for followers for me, but I would not do it. I remember the morning show, was it in the before it became the Mutt and Callahan show with the Kirk and Callahan? Didn't they buy somebody followers? I forget who, but I remember listening, and somebody got them a few thousand followers or something. Like, there's a bunch of websites that sell the followers, which I guess goes back to Kyrie Irving's point that it's all made up, it's all fake, blah, 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 the internet, the interweb. All right, now I teased the presidential endorsement, and we probably should pay that off right now. So Zion Williamson, the big story here nationally, the projected presumptive number one pick in the NBA draft out of Duke. He was injured about 30 seconds into the game, roughly. And the shoe that he was wearing exploded, and he has been ruled out. He's not going to come back. North Carolina and Duke, that game going on in the second half. And as he was leaving, this is how you know that this was a game that got a lot of hype and a lot of attention. Guess who was giving him encouragement, Zion Williamson, as he was walking off the court? Did you see this? Did you hear? Probably not. Because if you're watching the game, you're still watching it. You're not listening to me. But Zion Williamson, he's walking off the court, well, limping, and he gets encouragement from former President Barack Obama, who was sitting right near the baseline, right next to the Blue Devils bench. Now, the question I have is this. Did he get a ticket for free, or did he buy? I know he loves basketball, Barack Obama, and all that stuff, but did he actually buy the ticket? He's got money, right? The fastest way to be rich is to become a politician, and you get really, really rich when you're done being a politician. And I'm curious if somebody just gave him the ticket and he had to travel to North Carolina to, I mean, that's...
How much did you say those tickets were?
They were anywhere, Bridget, from $2,000 to $4,000.
Yeah, I really hope for his sake that he got them for free.
You think I assume he knows people because he's like
he's
a former president.
People.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he tight with Coach K?
I feel like you couldn't get tickets that close if you didn't know someone who was going to get them for you.
Well, no, they were selling them on the secondary market. But you had to pay like $3,000 or $4,000 for those seats. If you had the money, what would be the most you would pay for a ticket if you had the money?
To go to like a game that
any game you really wanted to go to.
I don't know. I'd probably top it out at like $300.
$300?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd go that high. Like, I don't even know. Like,
It would have to be like game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals between like two teams I really cared about it that year.
Yeah. Like, I've been pretty lucky. I've been able to go to some big sporting events over the years. And I got to tell you, like, I feel like I get a better experience watching it at home most of the time. Like, it's just, depending on where you're sitting and all that stuff.
If you're going to get basketball tickets or hockey tickets and you're up basically from the view that the camera is, there's no difference really than just sitting at home. But if you're sitting along, like, the glass at a hockey game, totally different experience. I'd pay for that. You get first or second row tickets at a hockey game, and the guys are getting hit up right against the boards. That's worth paying for.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's cool, like the whole, like to feel the energy in the arena and all that, but like the problem is, you know what you can do with like $1,000 rather than spending it on a ticket to a game? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, more power to you if you have the money to do it, but man. And I know a lot of people buy season tickets and then they sell a bunch of them just because, you know, pay for the rest of the games and all that. But yeah, it's
never mind like football games in February or January and they're outside.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you spend 4 hours. Yeah,
5 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Spend 4 hours sitting outside in a snowstorm. It's good.
It doesn't look fun.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyway, we'll press on here. We'll take some more calls coming up. Also, time now for the Who Am I game, and here we go. This is where we pretend to be somebody else in a blatant attempt to get you to listen a little bit longer. Thus, we call it the Who Am I game. And this is in honor of Manny Machado, who got a record-breaking $300 million contract with the Padres this week. And we're going to talk a little bit later about Mookie Betts, because many people believe that Mookie Betts is going to top $300 million, that he is better than Manny Machado, and he's going to get more money, blah, 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 blah. Everyone's worried about who's got next. All right, so here's the Who Am I game. In honor of Manny Machado, I am the ball player who received the biggest buyout to not play in Major League Baseball for the team that I was playing for. Again, in honor of Manny Machado, he got a $300 million contract. I am the ball player who received the largest contract buyout to not play professional baseball. Who am I? That is the question. The answer and your phone calls. We'll get to that. We'll do it next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ben Maller rocks late night now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, time now for the Who Am I game, and we'll get back to some phone calls here in a minute. By the way, Bruins and Golden Knights tied at one. They're in the first intermission. Riley Smith, former Bruin, scoring his first goal in 13 games for Vegas. I think the motivation might have been playing the Bruins, possibly. And Jake DeBrusk has a goal for the Bruins. In fact, he's got five now. Five goals and five assists in the last five-plus games. So he had been in a bit of a slump, not doing much of anything, and lately he has been doing a whole lot of everything. All right, time now for the Who Am I game in honor of Manny Machado, who broke the bank, literally broke the bank. He can run the bank. He can give out loans, low interest rate loans for Manny Machado. I am the ball player who received the biggest buyout not to play for my team in baseball history. Who am I? That is the question. What is the answer? Let's see if anyone knows the answer. Nick from the LBC says the answer is Carl Crawford. The answer is Carl Crawford. Who else do we... Well, some of these guesses are ridiculous. The correct answer, it is not Pablo Sandoval. So some of you said Pablo Sandoval. That is incorrect. Pablo Sandoval is second on the all-time buyout list. The Red Sox are paying Sandoval still $48.6 million. But the answer we were looking for, Josh Hamilton, the cocaine cowboy, back in the day for the Rangers and the Angels. The Angels owner, Artie Moreno, paid $68 million. $68 million to have Josh Hamilton no longer play baseball in Anaheim. That is almost $20 million more than the Red Sox paid Pablo Sandoval. Now, number three on the list, Troy Tulowitzki. That just happened this past offseason. Troy Tulowitzki, his contract bought out by the Toronto Blue Jays, and they paid him $38 million. And I believe he's with the Yankees now. I think he's in Yankees spring training camp, so he'll be playing in the Bronx. But Tulo got 38. How much money is Manny Machado going to get? Now, Machado's, it's really like a five-year contract with the Padres, and then after that, he can either opt in. If he's bad, he'll opt in, and then he can opt out and go the other direction if he's really good and try to get even more money. But if he opts in because he's bad, then you're looking at another massive, massive payout. Although the Padres do not have the amount of money to buy out those kind of contracts. I want to go back to something we talked about earlier here on Sports Radio WEI. We were discussing Kyrie Irving, and he had a temper tantrum. We played it. Good job by Bridget. She edited out all the dirty words we're not supposed to say. And Kyrie was very upset, complaining about the media. You know, have to have a fall guy. He's blaming the media, making his life uncomfortable and all that. And it brings up the whole media consumption thing. Now, I'm obviously compromised. I work in the media. I'm compromised. I also consume a lot of media. So there's a study out. A study done by a market research group. How much, this is interesting, I found this interesting. How much media do American adults consume per day? All right, so the study revealed the average American adult, how much time per day do you spend in your life watching television, video on the internet, reading, listening to radio shows like this, or just interacting with the media? Right? How much time do you spend a day? Now, let me ask my producer, Bridget. Bridget, how much time do you think the average American adult spends consuming media? What do you think? Interacting with the media.
I feel like it's got to be pretty high. I would think like maybe 4 hours a day.
So you think 4 hours. All right. How about this? According to the study, you're low. The average American adult spends 11 hours a day. 11 hours a day.
11?
Yes.
Like pretty much they're multitasking the entire day. They're at work. They're watching or they're on their phones. And because you can't do work and also have 11 hours of free time afterwards to watch media.
So. That's true.
So you're doing it at the same time, basically.
Yeah, like when you're stuck in your cubicle at work, like a lot of people stuck in the office, right? Or like if you have a hard labor job, how can you, if you're like a plumber or a construction worker, like are you driving the crane around while looking at your smartphone to see what's going on? Is that the move there? So like if the average person, I sleep about 4 hours a day during the week because I don't sleep well because I work overnights and I feel like I'm missing the world when I sleep. But most people sleep 7 to 8 hours a day. So if you sleep 8 hours a day, let's do some Mather math on this. There's 24 hours in the day, and you sleep 8 hours a day, go average. That means you're awake for 16 hours, and out of those 16 hours, 11 of the 16 hours, you are consuming media. That's what the study says. I don't know if you believe it.
Like, how are people not unemployed then if they're watching that much media while they're at work?
Are you trying to get me to take Weedman Hippie's call earlier than I normally would? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm sure he'd love that.
Because he is unemployed and all he does is consume media. So roughly 70 hours in America, 70 hours of the day that we are awake, 11 of the 16 hours the average American is awake, they're consuming media, according to this study. That is up. They did this study last 4 years ago, and it was 9 hours and 32 minutes. So we have increased. Way to go. Rah, rah, USA. We have, in 4 years, we have gone up essentially an hour and a half in media consumption. It's outstanding. Now, in another 4 years, all right, boy, where are we going to be? 2023? Holy Moses. Wow. All right. So in 2023, 4 years from now, is it going to be 13 hours a day. Is that where it's going to be? Yikes. Hey, I work in the media, so consider this a good thing. Eat it up, man. Essentially, have the media with you at all times anyway. You get your phone. Most people work on computers. You're always doing this. We'll press on. If you would like to be part, 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. You can be part of the show that way. And it's all about Mookie. It's all about Mookie getting paid. We'll get to that. And we will do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.